Name's Alan Schlegel again with Kansas State. This is a dryland crop rotation study we've done. The co-author has been Dan O'Brien, the ag economist, Lucas Hague, and then John Holman again. This was done at Tribune, Kansas, which is very west central, which is one of the sites of the forage study earlier. It's in about a 17.5 to 18-inch rainfall area. This is the duration of the study of these 6 years. The normal would be rainfall is on the right. And if you look across there, we have a very dry year, 2012, which was actually the driest year we've had on record. This is annual precip of less than 8 inches. And then we had a fairly wet year the year before that, 2011, about 23 inches. You look at that, most of the other years are somewhat average, slightly lower in 2008. But we have kind of two extremes and several somewhat typical years for annual rainfall. The distribution sometimes is not as good as desired. This was established as a long-term study, but it also was expected to change or evolve over time. So basically production scale sites or size to try to get overcome this small plot reluctance from some farmers and find a site that we could try new management techniques within a established rotation. Each phase of the rotation is present every year. All operations are done with production equipment, not plot equipment. The minimum plot size is 1 acre. There's three replications. Each plot is divided into, each whole plot is divided into three subplots. So they're 20 feet wide in the length of the trial. So either 20 feet by 450 or 20 feet by 900 feet. And within those subplots, what we use those for is to do different hybrids or different varieties or different management techniques to try to give an average for this rotation instead of relying on a single hybrid to represent a rotation or represent a crop. We also measure soil water, but I'm not going to talk about that. The following talk will touch on that. Just a history, it's a 100-acre field. It was in native sod up until the late 80s. It was broke out and farmed for several years. We acquired it in the early 90s. The plots were first established in 93. The rotations have evolved over time. We first changed in 98, and we also made changes in the 2000s. One of the constant rotations in here had been a reduced till wheat fallow rotation, which is still a fairly common system in our area. And that's kind of used as our long-term check. The early finding was that if we decreased tillage in wheat fallow, we increased yields. So going from a conventional till wheat fallow to no-till wheat fallow, we had about a 17 bushel yield increase. The other one we found was using 2 years and two crop and 3 year rotation using a wheat row crop fallow. Didn't really affect wheat yields if we use sorghum and corn. It did affect wheat yields if we use sunflowers or summer crop. So we changed rotations in on some of them. We still had the 3 year rotations, and we started some 4 year rotations, and we found again that sunflowers tended to reduce wheat yields about a third in either a 3 or 4 year rotation, wheat following a fallow after sunflowers. Again, the yields, wheat yields in the rotations with one or two summer crops, as long as it wasn't sunflower, were comparable to the wheat fallow. And sort of our conclusion was sunflowers wasn't really a great fit for area, but growing a stacked rotation of corn, wheat, corn, followed by another row crop really didn't have any effect on our corn yields. So there wasn't really a rotational effect of having a 3 or 4 year rotation. So that leads us to our current rotations. We still have the wheat fallow reduced till. Every other rotation there is no-till. So we have the wheat sorghum fallow or wheat sorghum corn fallow. And then we have wheat corn fallow or in wheat corn sorghum fallow. So we have the two-year, three-year rotations, and four-year rotations, all with one fallow period, or continuous sorghum. And these are grain sorghum. These are the wheat yields through the 6 years reported here, and the order will stay the same. And wheat fallows on the left, first bar. Then it's the three-year rotation. It's wheat sorghum fallow or wheat corn fallow. And the next two bars is wheat sorghum corn fallow or wheat corn sorghum fallow. So it's the two-year rotation, the one bar, two bars of three-year rotations, and two bars of four-year rotations, but the wheat is always grown after fallow. You look through the years there, I said that 2012 was the driest on record. We only had 10 bushel wheat yields. 2013 annual precipitation wasn't that bad, but the early season was poor, and actually we had worse yields in 2013, which is probably also somewhat of a carryover from the poor rainfall in 2012. The typical yields that people might be more pleased with would be, 40 bushel plus, which we actually only achieved 1 year out of six. If you average those, there's a slight difference, but not much. The yields are poor, what we would consider poor, under 20 to 25 bushel. You see there's a slight 4 or 5 bushel difference, but not a lot. So it's kind of consistent with what we had before, that the length of rotation doesn't have a whole lot of effect on wheat yields. And you look where yield components is it driving this. None of them was significant at the 5% level, but the number of heads used to be slightly lower in the lower yielding, and the kernel weight tend to be a little lower, but that's only at the 10% level. Kernels for heads was not significant. You look at sorghum yields, these are grain sorghum yields, the same pattern. The wheat sorghum fallow and the wheat sorghum corn fallow are the first two bars. So this is sorghum following 11-month period after wheat harvest. So there's a fallow in there. And then the next two bars is sorghum following corn in a four-year rotation or continuous sorghum. So this is sorghum following a previous summer crop, either corn or sorghum. And those are the last two bars. And you look through there, typically these group together fairly close. This is sorghum after wheat, sorghum after row crop. The better years, these come up sometimes a little better. In a really poor year, there's quite a bit of separation between these two groups. 2008 was kind of drier than normal. So they're fairly consistent if you look at that average over the 6 years. Whether you grew sorghum in a 3 or 4 year rotation, there's no significant difference. Whether you grew sorghum after corn or continuous sorghum, there was no significant difference. And you see where what was causing these yield differences is primarily number of heads, and this is due to both plant population and number of tillers per plant. Kernels with heads are highly significant, but had very little magnitude of difference, and kernel weight was actually a negative. In a sense, the highest yielding had the lowest weights, or the lowest yielding had the highest kernel weight, which you want to look at. But anyway, it was driving it the opposite way. So the main thing was the number of heads you had out there. We planted these all uniform population. Stand establishments sometimes a little different, but largely it's due to the number of tillers you have that's produced. These are corn yields. Again, the wheat corn fallow on the left, wheat corn sorghum fallow. Again, these are both corn following 11-month period after wheat harvest. And then corn after sorghum in the four-year rotation is the last bar, the little tiny one here in places. Again, 2008 was kind of dry, and that continuous crop of summer annuals is corn after sorghum. It really took a hit. 2012, basically everything really poor. But there's consistently lower of the second crop of corn after row crop versus corn after wheat. And if you look at that average over the years, no difference between the 3 and 4 year rotations of corn after wheat, and they were about almost twice as high as corn after sorghum. So there's quite a yield hit by planting corn after a row crop versus corn after wheat. And again, the where that came is number of ears. Again, this is due to lower plant populations and more barren plants in the corn after sorghum, and kernel weight. And this was actually a positive, and that was about evenly split. You put these together, you see the wheat not much different due to the rotations. Here the sorghum after wheat, a lot higher than the sorghum after row crop, about twice as high. Same thing here on corn, about twice as high of corn after sorghum versus continuous. The other thing to note is our sorghum yields are almost twice as high as our corn yields, whether it's following fallow or continuous crop, in a sense, following row crop. So sorghum looks like it's going to be a better crop for us in the dry land in these years than corn. This is the economics. This is the system economics that does not include land or management. Based upon current year's 2000 or whichever year's grain prices, but based on a constant cost over the years. So in 2008, these are in the same order. Each slide, the wheat fallow, wheat three-year rotation, wheat sorghum or wheat corn fallow, four-year rotations, and then continuous sorghum. So one you made the most money on was wheat fallow, and the one you lost the most on was continuous sorghum. And the four-year rotations lost in this year. 2009, everything lost, but we lost the least in wheat fallow or wheat sorghum fallow. Again, continuous sorghum was our worst. 2010 was a fairly profitable year, and actually continuous sorghum was the most profitable, followed by wheat sorghum fallow, and wheat fallow down here. And the four-year rotations were in there at least. Though the variability in a continuous sorghum is quite high from year to year for profitability. 2011, this again with the wettest year, we had good yields, and these are actually the fairly high grain prices. The wheat sorghum fallow was by far the best. The wheat fallow was the least in this instance. 2012 was a poor yielding year. Grain prices were good, but poor yields, and everything lost money. Again, lost the least with these systems. Wheat fallow, wheat sorghum fallow, lost the most with continuous sorghum or wheat corn fallow. The corn basically died off. And 2013, again, it's a money-losing year, but least losing with continuous sorghum or wheat sorghum fallow. The summary slide of the 6 years, there was one rotation that made money, and that was wheat sorghum fallow. The next one that lost the least amount of money was wheat fallow, and then you see everything else was considerably less. So even though we lost money in two out of these 6 years with wheat, sorghum, fallow, it was by far the overall the best. This did not include crop insurance. And that was going to skew these, but this did not include crop insurance. So wheat yields don't change much based on rotation, 2, 3, 4 years. Sorghum yields are about twice as high as corn in this particular study. The second summer crop yields about half as much as the first summer crop, whether that's sorghum or corn. And wheat, sorghum, fallow was the more profitable rotation. That's the end of my slides. I'll be ending my time.
I think we can have one question.
Alan, you said the wheat fallow was reduced till. So
right.
The other treatment, were they no-till or conventional till?
Yeah, the reduced tallow was, the wheat fallow was a reduced till. Everything else was no-till. Now, would we had different results if we had no-till wheat fallow? Possibly, because earlier on we had found that little higher yields with no-till wheat fallow than reduced till wheat fallow. But nobody does no-till wheat fallow in our area. That's why we eliminated it. But that could, that could be an option if you wanted to do it. But in these rotations, this is what we came up with. These yields had been actually lower than they were earlier in the study. It was in a kind of a dry spell. So, anyway, thank you.